Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Well, I have an outstanding show for you today. Of course, while everybody is continually obsessed with the Kavanaugh distraction, and understand that's distraction from the real reasons he shouldn't be a Supreme Court judge, and all of the other things going on. But while everybody is so aggressively obsessed with the sub-story to all of this, keeping us distracted from all the really important things, we've got evidence of geoengineering, we've got evidence of U.S. biowarfare happening all around the world, and a whole bunch of things we're going to talk about today. But first, before I get into the real meat of the show, we have a lot of crazy claims flying around lately in regard to Russiagate, and now it seems Chinagate, as we all saw coming in regard to the primaries, and very clearly just setting up the ball on the tee for the 2020 elections, for somebody's going to hack something so we can always reflexively point and say, look, see, that's why it didn't work out like you think, because we were hacked by a foreign country, and that gives us more excuse and more fear-mongering to carry out all the same things they've been doing to this point. So on that note, let's get into some of these allegations first, and then we'll get into some of the more of the crazy stuff further down in the show. The first article of the day, this one is coming from antimedia.com, entitled, Mike Pence accuses China, not Russia, of trying to interfere in U.S. elections. Which we've already seen, by the way. This is nothing new, but it contrasts interestingly with the next couple of stories. But this is Mike Pence himself saying clearly that this China is what we need to worry about and that we have no evidence for, it would appear. But my Vice President Mike Pence claimed on Friday that Russian interference in 2016, or in the vote in 2016, pales in comparison, which is a direct quote, with the Chinese meddling in the upcoming midterm vote. This follows claims, of course, by President Trump that China is interfering on behalf of the Democrats, which is like the diametric opposite to Russiagate. It's like the same exact story in reverse. It's interesting how people still eat this stuff up. Pence argued that China wants Trump replaced, but of course with no evidence supporting these claims whatsoever, as usual. Interestingly, Trump administration Homeland Security Secretary Christian Nielsen said that while China has the capability to influence U.S. elections, that there is in fact no indication of any attempt to disrupt the U.S. election infrastructure. But of course, that doesn't stop any of them from just asserting that they have some evidence somewhere that we're talking about that we've been shown that we can't show you for national security reasons, but just know China's doing everything they can to stop this from happening. It is a continual escalation of baseless, evidenceless claims. But people still eat it up, it would appear. But I continue to argue that the majority, as it were, the silent majority, is beginning to see through these claims. Hopefully you are as well. For the next story, with interesting contrast, coming from ZeroHedge.com, this one entitled, Mattis says Russian GRU, which I'll get into in a moment, is an intelligence group, caught red-handed hacking OPCW, vows cyber support to allies. Interesting how this has been spun. So now it's outside the realm of the election, but now just hacking OPCW reports, which have already gone in their favor. Very weird development in the story. So Russia is facing new multiple wide-ranging charges of hacking, as Western officials on Wednesday, in one case, alleged that the intelligence agencies, the GRU, that's one of their intelligence agencies, attempted to spy on the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, the OPCW, a group which we reported on a lot on this channel in regard to Syria, which is, of course, the independent body responsible for investigating chemical attacks in Syria and the UK. The OPCW is headquartered in Netherlands. And according to the reports, a group that the Dutch government has alleged are Russian operatives, which is this GRU, may have been caught red-handed in the act, as they claim. Now, authorities were quick to release photographs of the group's alleged hacking equipment and computers in the trunk of a car, which I was going to show you, but it's a car with some wires and computers in the back. And this is what made me laugh. Now, police say that that they are GRU operatives, also known as the Main Intelligence Directorate, the intelligence arm of the Russian military. This is what they claim, mind you. Now, they claim these are the people who planned to intercept login passwords to gain access to the OPCW internet files. Now, they claimed they had planned to do this. Not that they did, they have evidence they did, but simply that they caught them with stuff and that they were planning to do this, and then asserted that they are Russian spies with no evidence, as usual. Now, but strangely, the four men they are accusing, they identified as spies, were immediately escorted out of the Netherlands, as opposed to being detained for further questioning and possible trial, as would normally be the case with actual spies, which could either mean that they're not or that they have no evidence. Either way, to put these claims out there is in perfect, if this is par for the course for any kind of Western propaganda, asserting claims without evidence, and that is enough for people today, as we could talk about in any number of cases, be it Kavanaugh or Russiagate or Syria or Iran or any of these cases where they just assert these claims with no evidence. In fact, usually lots of evidence to the contrary. And they just simply say, well, our intelligence says otherwise, so trust us because we're the good guys. That's what it comes down to. Now, U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis, addressing the charges on Thursday after a two-day meeting in Brussels, said Russia must be held accountable for its attempts to hack the OPCW office. Again, asserting that they must be held accountable for something that we have not even proved is the case yet. But this is exactly like we saw with Skripal. This is exactly like we saw on all of the chemical weapons attacks, except the ones that Mattis have come back and said, oh, by the way, we didn't have evidence, but we won't talk about that anymore. Very, very interesting. And in a directly related story, the next step after this coming from South Front, this one entitled, U.S. charges seven alleged Russian intelligence operatives over hacking claims. So jumping the shark, as it were, to charge them for having equipment in their car is what it really boils down to. Now, again, it could be the case. I wouldn't put it past Russian or any other government to try to manipulate something. Why the OPCW is a good question, as they've been clearly finding evidence in Russia's favor. But the point is that any government could be capable of this. But you cannot charge someone for something they were about to do. I mean, I guess you could find a weird legal way, especially in the U.S. legal system. But there's no crime committed here. And then they're just, the point is these people could be ultimately anybody. And it could be another phantom case, just like the Skripal story. But now they're charging these people anyway. The U.S. Department of Justice announced that it has pressed charges against seven alleged Russian military intelligence officials who are accused of attempting to hack the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons and other entities. Always point out the alleged, accused, may have, all of these points they say, and then you, and at the end, and have been charged with these. Ask yourself how that's even possible today. They're charging people with things that they have not proved and are seemingly not even sure about. Attorney General Jeff Sessions said in an official statement released by the Department of Justice, quote, state-sponsored hacking and disinformation campaigns pose serious threats to our security and to our open society. Which is interesting, but the Department of Justice is defending against them. Thank you, Jeff Sessions, for that and attacking everybody's constitutional rights and our cannabis and everything else that you seem to be attacking. But make sure you get these people on these baseless claims. That seems really important. Washington also accused seven alleged Russian operatives of hacking the World Anti-Doping Agency, the WADA, the Westinghouse Nuclear Power Company, which provides nuclear fuel to Ukraine, and the spy's Swiss chemical laboratory, which was analyzing a toxic substance, interestingly, which was allegedly used against ex-Russian operative Sergei Skripal. Interesting how it all ties together. And many other government agencies and institutions. FBI Director Christopher Wray said, quote, the actions of these seven hackers, all working as officials for the Russian government, were criminal, retaliatory, and damaging to innocent victims and the United States economy, as well as to the world organizations. Their actions extend beyond borders, but so did the FBI's investigation. So just very hyperbolic and robust, like all of Trump's claims seem to be. This is just going to bring the world down. Everything, the economy, your innocent lives, just the way that they frame this with no evidence is meant to invoke an emotional reaction. Oh my God, this is such a big deal, is what they want people to think. However, the Department of Justice has not provided any evidence whatsoever to support the long list of accusations against the Russian intelligence and its alleged operatives so far. Let that sink in continually. Of course, Moscow has dismissed all the charges as but more Western spy mania, which could be an interesting cover if they wanted to carry out spying acts, but they're right in doing so. As even if Russia is carrying out spying activities, like I have no doubt they are, there is a very clear Western spy mania going on where they assert baseless claims knowing that they will fly with no evidence. Of course, while leveling its own accusations, Russia, that the Pentagon is conducting an illegal and dangerous German bioweapons research program near Russia's borders. Very, very interesting story, something I reported on recently. And of course, this could be just a reflexive return of claims with no evidence. However, there's lots and lots of evidence to back up this claim. But interesting how that's getting no attention. The other is all over the Western media. They don't need to say, even ask. Ask yourself why. I think we know why. The propaganda outlets do what they're told. The next story, relating from what he just said, coming from South Front as well. This one entitled, "At least 73 Georgians likely killed by U.S. toxin or bioweapon disguised as drug research, according to the Russian military." So the Russian Defense Ministry stated that a U.S.-funded biomedical laboratory in Georgia, the country, may have conducted bioweapons research under the guise of a drug test, claiming the lives of at least 73 people. Which, of course, like I said, I brought up almost a month ago. And it got very little, if any, attention even then. And it's important to recognize that this is probably one of the biggest stories we could talk about. And this is coming from declassified documents that he was showing, and it got completely ignored. Coming from strategicculture.com, a very, very damning article, probably, in my opinion, one of the most important articles of today, entitled "U.S. Biological Warfare Program in the Spotlight." Again, very, very revealing. This is a pretty damning article. Now, it's being reported that the Richard Lugar Center for Public Health Research Laboratory, a research facility for high-level biohazard agents located near Tbilisi, Georgia, now not Georgia, the state in the United States, but the country, has used human beings for conducting biological experiments. Thank you, Ryan from the past. A little weird superimposing of myself over myself. I thought that looked funny. Anyway, it's interesting to note that on last month, we talked about this very same story, as I said, and the information is very, very important. And now, of course, the Russian military is reasserting these claims because the U.S. completely ignored what the minister, the Georgia minister, was asking for the U.S. to do, to recognize these claims, the evidence that he had, and the U.S. completely ignored it. Now, referring to files received from the former Georgian minister, Igor Krylov, I've always mispronounced his name, I believe, commander of the Russian military branch responsible for defending troops from radiological, chemical, and biological weapons, revealed that the documents record the deaths of 73 people over a short period of time. This indicates a test of a highly toxic chemical or biological agent with a high lethality rate, end quote. Now, this is document declassified documented evidence showing that people were dying in these supposed drug trials happening at a U.S. installation in Georgia. Interesting to realize that, and there's evidence to these claims. Now, Krylov emphasized that the U.S. has a long record of unethical testing on human subjects in foreign countries, which is 100% easily verifiably true, which I recommend you go do your own research on. You can find stuff on WikiLeaks about the history of U.S. biological testing. Very, very important. We just, astoundingly, Trump, and I made a video about this, just had the nerve in front of the U.N. to talk about how the U.N. unilaterally fights bio-warfare engineering around the world, which is patently false. And I made a point to say that then. Now, as to the Georgian case, Krylov referred to the test carried out by the Richard Lugar Center for Public Health Research, which I touched on in the last episode, near the Georgian capital of Tbilisi, involved clinical trials of a drug called Sovaldi, which is meant for the treatment of hepatitis C. Now, the drug is produced by Gilead Sciences, I believe, a California-based biomedical firm that recruited former U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld as a board member in 1988 in between his two tenures as head of the Pentagon. The Russian military pointed out that the U.S. has at least 30 laboratories under its control all over the world and Washington is highly likely boosting its military and biological potential under the cover of such research. Again, something that we have talked about before, as we pointed out in that video where Donald Trump so ridiculously claimed that they're fighting against such a thing while they have installations all around the world. This, and look at the image. This is from the DOD, Pentagon Biolaboratories in 25 countries. Of course, for your safety, studying to save the planet to help everybody, of course. What else would they possibly be doing? And then we have all of these claims. Thank you, Peggy, for your super chat. What else could we possibly be doing? When we have all these claims coming from Russia, from the Georgian minister, from people saying people are dying due to your bioengineering efforts. Very important to recognize that. And it's something that needs to stand out, that this is exactly the kind of thing that they are doing. It's alarming. It truly is. So Krylov further noted that these labs are a source of the constant biological threats to Russia and China. He added that the Russian Defense Ministry was aware of the U.S. researching ways to deliver and unleash biological weapons in breach of international accords. And this is how they do things. They find ways around these by using the guise of a drug trial or whatever else, knowing that when it's outside the borders of the United States itself, they don't get held accountable for just about anything. Very similar to, let's say, the UAE-run torture prisons in Yemen, where the U.S. and the CIA have been pictured on site. Of course, but we don't torture in the United States. We just oversee and administrate it. Very same kind of a thing. The U.S. commented on the Russian Defense Ministry press briefing, claiming that the provided information is false and is part of an ongoing Russian disinformation campaign against the West. This is where actual journalism would come in. When they say this kind of thing and people go, well, would you care to comment on your documented 35 different locations with bioengineering? No, that'll never happen, because they wouldn't have an answer for that. No, this is Russian disinformation. Don't look at the man behind the curtain. Always. Very interesting. Now, in a directly related story, which takes this one step further and makes this even easier to believe for those that may want to disbelieve such a horrible thing, this coming from the freethoughtproject.com, scientists accused DARPA of genetically modifying insects for bioweapon to spread agricultural viruses. Yes, that is a very real title. And that's exactly what we're talking about today. And this is a very real thing. And people should be scared of this. So in a report issued this week, I believe today actually, the Science Policy Forum have accused the U.S. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, of creating a technology ostensibly used to genetically modify crops with insects, is the claim, but that could be converted into a dangerous and illegal bioweapon. The current program is being funded by the Pentagon's research arm, DARPA, who last year, of course, was found to be spending millions on genetic extinction technology that could wipe out entire species, but don't mind that. DARPA's new project, dubbed Insect Allies, involves releasing fleets of genetically modified insects into crops, which would, quote, infect plants with a special virus that would genetically modify the plant on location. Yeah. That's a horrifying thing to hear. Now, as Gizmodo points out, if you think that sounds scary, you're not alone. Quote, the lead author of the new Science Policy Forum report, Richard Guy Reeves from the Department of Evolutionary Genetics at the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Biology, says that the Insect Allies program is a disturbing example of dual-use research in which DARPA, in addition to helping out farmers, is also working on a potential weapon. Now, that is a very, very prestigious person and location to put out such a claim. And it's nothing we should be surprised about. DARPA, like we just pointed out, under the guise of the drug trial, is testing on their weapons on people. Now we're talking about them under the guise of helping crops. They're testing a potential biological weapon. Very real stuff here, people. According to researchers, DARPA, quote, aims to disperse infectious genetically modified viruses that have been engineered to edit crop chromosomes directly in fields. Now, first ask yourself, when did we vote on anything like this? Things that potentially could change the face of the human species. And we're just kind of throwing these things out like, oh, they're for the betterment of everybody. Just don't watch what we're doing. This is horrifying stuff, that they have no understanding of how this could truly affect our food sources, our water sources, us. They really don't. They think they do. But the truth is, you don't know how this could go forward, and this is a scary thing. DARPA plans to release swarms of genetically modified insects like leafhoppers, whiteflies, and aphids that have been altered using CRISPR. Of course, CRISPR, something we pointed out before, or other gene editing systems. Literally editing the genes of natural species. That can't go wrong. How could that possibly go wrong and hurt the entire planet? I don't know, any dystopian movie we've seen in the last 100 years, and not that we should base the movies off of this, but very real potential for something to go wrong. The swarms would be carrying an infectious virus. Yeah, that sounds safe. To crops that are already established as a means of genetically modifying them on the spot. Just horrifying stuff. It says, quote, "It is our opinion that the knowledge to be gained from this program appears very limited in its capacity to enhance U.S. agriculture or respond to national emergencies." This from the authors in the New Policy Forum. Instead, they say, quote, "The program may be widely perceived as an effort to develop biological agents for hostile purposes and their means of delivery, which, if true, would constitute a breach of the Biological Weapons Convention." But, you know, what is another treaty? What's another convention or another Geneva? You know, what are these? The U.S. just kind of casually dismissing any kind of international draw. And that's very revealing in all the things we're talking about today, making it very clear that the U.S. does not have to adhere to anything in the world that they think is somehow circumventing their national security, which again means just whatever they want it to mean. And again, take this into context about the Biological Weapons Convention in regard to the previous story about a known U.S. biolaboratory in Georgia, the country, literally carrying out experiments on people under the guise of a drug trial, with the Georgian minister himself waving documents saying, "I have proof they killed people." But everybody talk about Kavanaugh and all these things happening that they want you to focus on because none of this matters. It's what they want you to think. Now, stopping short of calling it a weapon, DARPA has actually acknowledged that this technology could be used as a means of a national defense. That's literally saying, well, I guess it, now that we think about it, I guess it could be used as a weapon, but no, we didn't, we never thought of that. Yeah, do you really believe that? If you do, you're wildly naive to think that a group like this has not put all that thought into play. And they point blank say it right there. This is what your tax dollars are going to, this is what our government is doing around the world. While they point the finger at people who are doing literally nothing. Really should set in for us. Now, in the final story of the day, now this one is something to, oh, excuse me, the second to last story of the day. This one relates to, I forgot I added this one right before, because it's interesting how it relates. Now, it's not bio warfare, but it is geoengineering. Another concept that people pretend is not real, but here is point blank evidence of not just geoengineering, but it being used for something a corporation needs. Big surprise. Coming from Mint Press News, this entitled "Mexican Farmers Accuse Volkswagen Hail Cannons," that's what they're called, "of causing drought as climate catastrophe and weather engineering proliferate. I'm reading off the screen. But this is actually a very profound story. This is a very profound story, and this does show us something that even today people pretend is a conspiracy theory, which blows my mind with how many times this has been admitted and actually is in effect this moment. So farming communities in this area are blaming Volkswagen for the loss of their crops after the company's use of what they call hail cannons for weather modification devices at a plant in the central Mexican state of Puebla. Thank you for the super chat. Allegedly deprived Mexico's historic breadbasket of rainfall throughout much of the year. At the start of this past May, when the rainy season began, the automaker introduced the cone-shaped cannon devices and began firing them off with alarming regularity, sending chemical and sonic shockwaves toward clouds every 6 seconds in an attempt to disperse storm clouds and prevent the formation of hail as large as tennis balls that could potentially pummel thousands of newly produced cars parked in the Volkswagen outdoors lot. God forbid we should affect any kind of corporate profit, but let's just ruin an entire ecosystem in the meantime. That seems like it's a good balance, but it's in Mexico, so the U.S. just simply doesn't care. Now, farmers in the affected towns and cities surrounding the factory, excuse me, well, I shouldn't make it just about the U.S. I should point that out. Obviously, Volkswagen is, you know, but the point being that this is something that, in my eyes, the U.S. has championed in regard to geoengineering. That's where my mind was going. Now, farmers in the affected towns and cities surrounding the factory are demanding nearly $3.7 million compensation for the loss of around 5,000 acres of corn, and I guess beans and cereal crop, a catastrophic loss for over 100,000 rural people who rely on their harvest for their livelihood. And as it turns out, we actually have footage of exactly what we're talking about. Now, this is a very ominous sounding and looking thing. These are the cannons we're talking about. And you can see this. You can see it working, you can see it in effect. Storm brewing, this is literally with sound and chemicals spraying into the air with the direct express goal of stopping the hail. That is geoengineering, ladies and gentlemen. You can call it cloud seeding, whatever kind of sidestepping claim you want. This is geoengineering. This is weather modification. That's what this is. There's no way to spin that. I mean, that is a very profound thing. Now, as you're even hearing this, you may be thinking, oh, that's not true. That's not what that is. You misunderstand. Well, interestingly, Volkswagen has defended its use of the weather-modifying cannons while pledging to drastically cut back their use by toggling a manual rather than automatic setting for the devices. The company has also pledged to install anti-hail nets over their car lots at the plant, which employ around 15,000 people and produces nearly 500,000 vehicles per year. So, no, this is admission of what these are, weather-modifying cannons that they're using to stop the hail. And in the effect of this, they have stopped the rain, as the farmers claim. But it's not a long skip and a jump to realize that while you're spraying chemicals into the air to stop the hail, that you're going to affect the weather. And Volkswagen has defended their use, even knowing that this could potentially be the case, but they'll never admit to that. But in that same light, saying, well, we'll try to scale back because they likely are aware of what's happening. Now, Zapatista Indigenous Autonomous Movement, MAIZ is the acronym, state council member and legal worker Alfredo Lonzo Ortega told Mint Press News this is an exclusive from Mint Press News, quote, on the one hand, there are the immediate losses of the crops, and on the other hand, there is an ecological damage caused by the disruption of the natural water cycle. Rather than reducing these large hailstones to snow or water, they've interrupted the normal rain cycle, affected the ecosystem, drained our rivers, and seriously impacted the water table, the source of fresh water that human life depends on. I mean, this is something, now ask yourself two questions. One, why this is not a worldwide national story? Well, Volkswagen is literally manipulating the weather and ruining an ecosystem to make sure that the hail doesn't fall on their cars. That's profound. And two, if you really think that this kind of thing is not being used in this country, really ask yourself that. We know this stuff, or even consider the claims from Iran. In claims that other countries, U.S., Saudi Arabia, Israel, are using weather modification to effectively take away their rain. People scoff and laugh at these claims, but this is literally real world stuff we're talking about here. And if you don't think it's been weaponized, again, you're being wildly naive. These people think like this, and our history shows that. And to see where this develops, this is the kind of thing that real journalists should jump on the mainstream supposed media, and break in a huge story about how Volkswagen is raping an entire ecosystem. But no, let's focus completely on the things they want you distracted by, so you don't see stories exactly like this that have actual effect on not just people, but the planet. This is the real stuff here, people. And I highly recommend you dig into this. The bioengineering, the biowarfare, the experimentation. This is the real world examples of our corporate and government influence. It is truly alarming. Now, to end with a little bit of a positive note, also coming from the Free Thought Project, this is definitely a good story. And it shows us what can actually be done, given it's not in the United States, but it shows you a few important things. This one entitled, No Party is Welcome. Town bans all politicians after being lied to repeatedly. An excellent story that really does give, that gives me hope. I sure hope it gives you hope as well about what can be done, what is possible. Probably much less likely to work in this country, but it shows you what's possible. And I think it's a very important story to take away. Now, a town in Bosnia just effectively banned all politicians. Podgora is full of people who've become, as they say, tired of being lied to over and over again by politicians who will say anything to get elected and never follow through with their promises. That sure sounds familiar. Now, this is what we're seeing in their town, which is very interesting. Oh, I think I actually forgot to put the image in there. Anyway, in the article itself, you can see the image of the banner hanging in front of their town. Like, literally, they strung up a banner across the main street, and it reads, "You've been lying to us for years. No party is welcome in Podgora." Now, this is a white banner across the main square. It's a 700-person village, which lies about 18 miles from the capital. Enough lies, one 47-year-old told the Associated Free Press when they asked him why he supports the ban on politicians. He said, quote, "We're fed up that every time they come, they tell us stories and they make promises to ensure votes." Sounds pretty familiar. Thanks to decades of corruption and empty promises, this gentleman and many others are poor and jobless because of corrupt political interests that have sold them out time and time again. And you can imagine in a country like this, it's probably much more right in your face and regular. But I would imagine you can clearly point out that here it is incredibly regular, maybe just not so much right in your face. But these people are well aware of what's going on. He says, quote, "And every time on the day after the elections, it is as if nothing had happened, as if they did not even come to see us." Thank you for the super chat. "A few careless politicians didn't heed the warning and entered the town anyway," interestingly, "to hang up their political signs, but they were quickly torn down." And to reiterate their point, one of the locals actually took the sign and spray painted a message on the back, said, "Did you read it? People have had enough." They're serious about this. Now, the townspeople explain that they are the ones who keep the town running, not the government, which is true for anywhere, by the way. When something is broken, the people pool their own resources to fix it. Now, you could argue that's different in somewhere like the United States. However, the people are the ones that do this, right? The people are the ones that run the companies that do these things, not the government. But the point is, in this town specifically, they use their own money because this government just ignores them completely. One man said, "We are the ones who replace the bulbs for the streetlights. We do not have a single garbage container. There was no bus, and the drinking water supply system was constructed before the war with asbestos cement pipes that were not replaced." Now, the takeaway point from this for me is this: we have to realize that this idea of needing some kind of governmental body to effectively make sure everything works and functions is a fallacy in the purest sense of the word. It is a manipulation of our perception of the way the world works. There are many different kinds of societies. And the reality that the realization we need to come to is that they've made us think we need them telling us how to function. And it's very difficult for people who have lived their entire lives under this guise, thinking they're being protected at the barrel of a gun, it would seem. But to have them stand back and realize that it's all a big facade. But it's something we need to begin to think about. We truly, as I said in a past show, need to begin to see the lines they've drawn for us and realize that we need to start stepping outside of these boundaries and realize that there are other ways things can effectively function. That's a hard step to make. But as always, the first step is making sure people recognize the lies being told, the deceptions being put in front of us, the distractions being created so we don't look at everything I talked at here today. Very, very important. So be sure and spread this information with your friends. Make sure you subscribe to this channel. Subscribe to The Last American Vagabond. If you want to become a Patreon at / The Last American Vagabond and support this channel, or check out truthclothing.io and buy a question everything t-shirt. However you want to support us, I would greatly appreciate it. But no matter what, get out there and support your independent media, because it's the only place you're going to find the truth. Make sure you stay tuned on this very channel for TLAV Research and Review, which will start in just a moment, and we'll continue talking about all of this and many other topics in a much more casual way, and I hope to see you there. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.